Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start Sit Week 8. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and with me today to play Start and Sit for Week 8, it's Andrew Erickson, Big Swole himself, and of course, Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, which I found out, too, happens to be an excellent swimmer. I'm finding out all these things about my friends for years that I didn't even know, and hopefully we're going to find out a little bit more about the guys to start and sit today. Before we even get into that, though, a trade in the NFL. I love trades in the NFL. It wasn't a thing 5-6 years ago. Now it's become a thing. Kadarius Toney moves from the New York Giants to the Kansas City Chiefs. So the Chiefs looking ahead a little bit, a conditional third round pick and a 6th round pick go in the other direction. Obviously the Giants new regime, not too enamored of Kadarius Toney. So a lot of people rushing back to pick up Kadarius Toney. Derek Brown, Erickson and I already had some moments on the live stream on YouTube talking about this. So I want to hear your two cents. How does this affect Kadarius Toney's value? Is he somebody people should be running to pick up? And what does this mean for the other pieces in that wide receiving core in Kansas City?
For me, honestly, I don't think it has much redraft appeal this year. I think this is more of a move by Kansas City getting ahead of the curve and really their front office playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. In the sense that Juju and Mecole Hardman are both free agents after this season. Toney, we could say whatever we want about the injuries, how much of that is real, or him just being like, nah, I'm not playing for this coaching staff. But I don't think that this has a massive amount of appeal for redraft this year because he still has to get into the building, recover from whatever injury, if that's real or not, and assimilate himself to the offense. So I don't hold a lot of like our high value for Toney and redraft. If you can ship him off or lump him in a trade to upgrade your team, that's what I'd be doing in a redraft perspective. Now in Dynasty, yeah, absolutely. Hold on to him. That's fine. Mm-hmm. If you could take advantage of the hype, that's great. But the two guys that I think like benefit or at least that I want to talk about the most from this is one, Wandale Robinson. And he's going to be a PPR dynamo the rest of the year. I think he's, I mean, honestly, guys, like what? Like wide receiver 3-ish? Maybe he gets into low end 2 range in PPR formats. It's possible, considering his target share and things like that. And then we were talking about before we turned the cameras on and went live and stuff, Sky Moore. I threw this out on social media and everybody thinks that I'm just a delusional Sky Moore truther. But considering I think Juju is gone, Mecole is gone after this year, Now, if anybody's low on Sky Moore in Dynasty, I'm going to be buying. Well, I've already got Sky Moore on so many rosters.
I was going to say, is there a Dynasty league you play in where you don't have? I think maybe one you and I might be in or something.
You could trade him to me, Joe. I would be happy with that. Yeah, I would be happy with that for pennies. For pennies,
Erickson,
Joe.
What are your thoughts on this deal, too? I mean, Derek saying, look, pump the brakes in terms of your enthusiasm, everybody, about rolling Kadarius Toney after the bye. But there is that extra week of preparation, an extra week with the playbook, an extra week of practice before he has to go out there. Juju's starting to look good, though, last 2 weeks. So can Kadarius Toney carve out a role and be useful in 2022 in your mind?
I mean, maybe he might need an injury for something like this to happen. You recall that the Rams acquired Odell Beckham Jr. last year, even before they knew about Robert Woods. And then Robert Woods was out for the rest of the year. And then it turned into OBJ. Okay, now he's not a luxury piece. He is an integral piece to our offense. So I think it's the Chiefs looking ahead and being like, hey, you know, the Bills offense is unstoppable. Like, we have to make sure we're unstoppable too, and that we don't miss a beat if we lose one of our starting wide receivers. So getting Kadarius Toney for a pretty cheap cost, I think, was a really smart move, a real life move by the Kansas City Chiefs. And he's a talented guy. Like, when we saw Kadarius Toney play last year, when he was healthy, he was great. He was awesome. He was an elite wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And it's just been the injuries and the coaching, this new coaching staff that he's just not really gelled with, that we haven't really been able to see him on the field. And that may not be the case with Kansas City. So I'm excited to kind of see what he has to offer if he gets onto the field.
That seems like a Kadarius Toney problem, too. I mean, it seems like it's his attitude or something on that end of it, because Brian Daboll seems like a guy everybody seems to love except Kadarius Toney for some reason. I don't know why. We shall see.
I will say,
I also
too,
think it's fascinating. Go ahead.
Actually,
go ahead.
Well, so I was thinking also, too, with the Giants, like, this probably doesn't mean that, because they could acquire a wide receiver, too. So
well, this is where I'm going. And I were just talking about this, where if I was the New York Giants, I'd be looking now. I got an extra third round pick. I'd be calling up the Broncos, who don't have a pick from now until, I don't know, 2048. And I would say, hey, would you like some picks for Jerry Jeudy? And all of a sudden bring Jerry Jeudy into this offense. I think that could be a move you could see. So I don't think this is the last shoe to drop here with the Giants here, but could be wrong. We shall see. A lot of other wide receivers on the market. I love NFL trade deadline stuff.
Start or sit?
Let's get the starts and the sits. Let's start with the RBs. Week 8. Give me the guys that you feel good about starting this week. Who are they? Derek Brown.
So the first guy's off the top here, and I know we do have news hitting the timeline, so I am going to give credence to that about Chuba Hubbard missing practice. But if he's good to go, him and Deontay Foreman are being ranked too low. Right now, I've got Chuba Hubbard as my RB34, ECR is at RB39. Deontay Foreman is at RB29, and I'm in line with ECR. Now, if Chuba misses this week, Deontay Foreman is probably going to be a top 24 back for me. The matchup is awesome for both of these backs. And again, we talked about this earlier in the week. Look, if Carolina is going to run out like a Chicago type of offense where they're just going to run, it doesn't matter. Both of these guys can get 15 to 17 touches against the Falcons defense that is allowing the second highest rush success rate. They're 29th and 22nd in adjusted line yards and second level yards. Both these guys, I mean, look, if they get into the end zone this week, they've been efficient with the touches they've gotten last week. They could both be top 24 running backs, but I think they're both at least should be RB3s this week. And so they have to be starts if we do get word that Chuba Hubbard is going to play this week. On to the next guy that I think has to be in lineups is Raheem Mostert. And I understand, like, ECR has him at RB15. I have him flirting with top 12 status, and the long and short analysis is he faces the Lions.
That's good enough. Lions. I mean, they have not disappointed us yet, let's be honest.
No, they really haven't. And now with Mostert taking over this backfield since week 4, he's almost averaging 18 touches, 90 total yards per game. He's top 25 in so many different elusivity metrics. And you have the Lions that are bottom 3 in pretty much anything you look at for running backs. So Mostert is a must start, almost a RB1 for me this week. And the guy that I really want to bring up here, and I kind of danced around with a lot of different players for this deep dive, the one guy that I think that people are probably kind of soured on, they're tired of rolling him out because he's just not doing anything, it's Kareem Hunt. I have him as a top 24 running back this week. ECR has him at RB30. And this comes down to how the Browns should attack the Bengals. The Bengals' secondary is extremely good. Amari Cooper has struggled versus zone coverage. Most of his targets have come versus man coverage. The Bengals are a zone-based defense. What does this all mean? They should be running the ball with both of their studs this week. And I think Kareem Hunt gets in the end zone. You look at the Bengals' run defense. 25th in EPA, 28th in explosive run rate. I think Kareem Hunt could be a top 24 running back this week.
Here's my only pushback. We saw with James Robinson last week, when you're on the precipice of being traded, nobody's going to run you out there. They're going to put you in bubble wrap. I feel like, Andrew, that's the concern with starting Kareem Hunt this week, is not so much the matchup as it is potentially, is he going to get that opportunity, as he is an asset that other teams are chasing right now, it seems.
Well, I mean, that's the issue. I mean, we've seen over the last 2 weeks, Kareem Hunt has averaged 6 touches per game in the last two games. So, and that's dramatically different from the beginning of the season. This hasn't been a slow trickle down. It was 15 touches every single week, status quo for Kareem Hunt for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And then all of a sudden it just drops down to 6. It's very weird usage, and similar to what you talked about with James Robinson. It's like, there is a connection between, oh, they are fielding offers for him for trades. Oh, D'Ernest Johnson did play a little bit more than he did the previous week. So the matchup is good, but on a Monday night, we could get a report that says, is Kareem Hunt going to be on the team? But by the time Monday night rolls around, maybe not. So would be hesitant to rely on Kareem Hunt, in my opinion.
The pushback on that is, what did Carolina do with CMC? They didn't stick him in bubble wrap. They featured him, so a team paid up for him. So if the Browns are getting lowball offers, if they feature Kareem Hunt and he gets more work, then some team says, okay, fine. Instead of giving you a fourth, we'll give you a third for Kareem Hunt.
That is also possible. It's definitely a precarious situation, to say the least. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Monkey Knife Fight. No math, no salary caps, no sharks, just daily fantasy player props. They're offering a free $5 first game for new signups today at Monkey Knife Fight using the promo code FANTASYPROS. That's all one word, FANTASYPROS, at Monkey Knife Fight. Get 100% instant deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. Again, use the promo code FANTASYPROS. That's one word, FANTASYPROS, when you sign up today at Monkey Knife Fight. And now, back to the action. Let's get to the guys you want to sit this week at RB.
So, before the news of the injury and even after it, Ezekiel Elliott is not a player that I'm looking to start. He is an RB3 for me. ECR still has him as a top 20 running back, and I know that that's going to be adjusted with the news of, and maybe he misses this week, but we've seen Zeke basically, as long as his legs move, he's probably going to try to put his helmet on and gut it out, and that is not a player that I want in my lineups. He's basically turned into a touchdown-dependent RB3. Last week, Tony Pollard outsnapped him 60% to 49%. He lost the routes in the passing game. Tony Pollard took over those with a 50% route run rate. And Chicago is a good matchup on the ground. But what did Zeke do versus the Lions? Literally those two touchdowns, the short touchdowns he got, saved his day, because he didn't do anything in the passing game. And he did very little from an efficiency standpoint on the ground. So even if Zeke is in the lineup this week, I want nothing to do with him. And another player that I find that, ECR has him as a top 20 running back, and I have him in RB3 territory, is Najee Harris. I understand if you have to start Najee Harris, considering options, bye weeks, what have you. I would be starting, if Chuba Hubbard is out, I would handily be start Dante Foreman. Maybe even Chuba over Najee. And that's because Najee's done nothing. He's done nothing this season. He's basically been if you take away the name, he's been Jeff Wilson without the touchdowns. He's doing nothing in the passing game. He's going to get you a good 15 to 17 touches and 70 yards on the ground. And that does what for your fantasy squad? The Pittsburgh offensive line has been terrible all season long. And Najee has only been an RB2 or better once in his last 4 games. Yet, everybody looks at the name and they say, oh yeah, Najee Harris is an RB2. Got to play him. No, you don't.
Do they all sound like that? Is that what they sound like?
That's what they sound like in Discord. That's what I've heard.
You know, we just had a conversation about Najee Harris on the live stream as well. We were talking about, I made the comment, Andrew, of saying, look, he gets Eagles this week, another tough defense, right? And after the bye, I think Kenny Pickett finally gets to breathe a little bit. I mean, poor Kenny Pickett. They threw him to Buffalo and Tampa and then Philadelphia. I mean, it's been a tough slog for this kid. After that, he gets New Orleans, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Baltimore, Carolina, Vegas, Baltimore. That's a pretty good schedule for Kenny Pickett to sort of elevate this Pittsburgh offense. If we hit rock bottom with Najee Harris, is that somebody people should be looking to potentially buy on the real down low, especially in any keeper format?
I don't think so. I mean, I get that the schedule is getting improved, but I mean, Najee Harris is just not a running back that I think can take advantage of these soft matchups.
I'm glad you didn't ask me. I was going to say the same thing as Harrison. I mean, it's the same thing
with him every single week. It's like you rank him as a back end RB2 because he gets volume and you're hoping he scores. And that's it for Najee every single week. And it's just another bad matchup.
I think Pittsburgh will improve in the second half. We'll see as the pod rolls on weeks at a time.
So
let's play a little
Joe.
Game of who should I start. And of course, this is powered by a free tool over on our fantasypros.com/start. You can go check that out. So I'm going to ask you this question right here. Michael Carter this week against the New England Patriots or Jamal Williams against the Miami Dolphins. Who would you rather start this week? D-Bro, you go first.
I'm going to go with Michael Carter. The Patriots have been quietly susceptible outside of allowing touchdowns. They've been susceptible to receiving backs and running backs on the ground. Jamal Williams has a tough matchup against the Dolphins. Give me Michael Carter. I'm going to go with ECR on this one.
Well, we just had the hot hand, quote unquote, comment from Robert Saleh about an hour ago before recording this. So how do you feel about that, Carter or Williams for you, Erickson?
I'm still going to go with Michael Carter. Like, if there's ever a week where he's going to see a vast majority of touches over James Robinson, would probably be the first week that James Robinson's on the team. So I would take advantage of having Michael Carter because his role may only decrease as the season progresses.
59% of experts agree Michael Carter over Jamal Williams. Now, again, I love when this happens. These are two guys that D-Bro talked about, and I already had them lined up, locked and loaded for this discussion today. Kareem Hunt or Deonta Foreman. So I'm going to take some of your favorite things, kind of like Oprah used to do. Derek Brown, you tell me. Who would you rather? You only got one spot, Hunt or Foreman. Which way are you going?
So if Chuba plays, I'm going Hunt. I'll give the caveat. If Chuba is out, it's easy Foreman.
All right. Same logic for you, Andrew.
I'm just going to play Foreman either way.
Nice. Me too. I'm playing Foreman either way too. 55% of people still on Kareem Hunt, though, on the expert level. So just to take that, we're going to switch over to the wide receivers. And speaking of wide receivers, don't forget we got that monthly giveaway, that Amon-Ra St. Brown helmet. It's not going to give away itself. FantasyPros.com/contest. Drop a review of the pod. 5-star review. I love Andrew and Derek Brown and Joe Pizzapia. I tolerate because the other two guys are so great. Whatever you want to do, go do that. Drop that review and then go to FantasyPros.com/contest and you can win. And if you remember, like I tell you every week, if you follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter, on TikTok, on, of course, the Instagram as well, you can get even more entries into that contest at FantasyPros.com/contest. Let's talk wide receiver, boys. Erickson, this is your neck of the woods. Who are you starting this week with confidence in week 8?
All right, so here are my two. So number one is DJ Moore. I have him wide receiver 25. He's ECR wide receiver 26. I was encouraged what we saw from him last week with PJ Walker. 48% target share, 69 yards, and one touchdown. So you took McCaffrey out of the lineup. You took Robbie Anderson out of the lineup, and half the targets went to DJ Moore. So that was very encouraging to see. And
he almost
it's a great
died catching that touchdown, though. I just want to say I was so worried about him. He looked like he was under the stadium at that one moment. He's not good.
And it's a great matchup this week against the Falcons. You know, they're giving up the most passing yards per game this season, and they're without their top cornerbacks, Casey Hayward and A.J. Terrell. Like, they're out of the lineup. So when Philip Walker drops back the throw, we know where it's going, and it should be effective. So I like DJ Moore this week. I think you can go back to him. My other guy is Jerry Jeudy. I have him wide receiver 30. He's ECR wide receiver 35. When you look at the splits between Jeudy and Sutton, when they've both been healthy and Russell Wilson has been the quarterback, their target share is basically the same. Air yard share is basically the same, basically splitting atop the target, atop the depth chart. But I think Jeudy has a better matchup specifically in the slot this week. You're looking at Jaguars cornerback, slot cornerback Darius Williams. No defensive back has been targeted more in the slot than Williams has this season. 5 targets per game. So I think Jeudy's going to get a decent amount of volume here in London. So I like those two guys.
All right, give me one more guy in week 8 you feel good about starting.
Yeah, I'm going to go with San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. I have him wide receiver 22. He's ECR wide receiver 29. I was kind of surprised to see him outside the top 24 receivers because he's been super productive over the last 2 weeks. He's led the 49ers in targets. He's been more productive than Deebo Samuel, who's dealing with a hamstring injury. So we've seen hamstring injuries kind of hamper wide receivers in the past, especially with them being a nagging injury. So I think Ayuk is going to continue to take advantage. He leads the team in routes run and receiving yards, 82.5 per game over the last 2 weeks. And I know the Rams matchup has been one, oh no, it's Jalen Ramsey. That doesn't matter. Like Jalen Ramsey and his impact on this defense has not reflected into fantasy points because they are allowing the second most receiving yards to opposing number one wide receivers this year, 92 per game, and they're allowing the league's second highest completion rate at nearly 70% to wide receivers. So I think Ayuk is a great play this week.
All right. Well, the Debo injury, coupled by the two good weeks in a row from IU, coupled with the addition of Christian McCaffrey, a lot of those things kind of add up to a good potential start of Brandon Ayuk this week. Debo, are you feeling that same love for Brandon Ayuk that Erickson is?
I am. I have Brandon Ayuk at wide receiver 24. I think he's a wide receiver 2 this week. I love Erickson's call there. And I love the call on DJ Moore. I mean, Ayuk, I think people, and I actually, when I wrote up the primer, I was surprised. I was like, how did I miss this? Ayuk is coming off of back-to-back games with 11 targets, and he's been a top 20 wide receiver in back-to-back weeks. Ooh, because I had him in wide receiver 3 territory as well, and I was like, oh no, he's got to go up. He's got to go up in
rookie
the ranks.
Numbers. Got to bump it up.
Yeah. Got to get above this.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's move on to some of the guys you're not feeling this week. Andrew Erickson, what do you want to sit at the wide receiver spot in week 8?
Romeo Doubs, Green Bay Packers wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He is buried in my rankings. I have him wide receiver 58. He is ECR wide receiver 39. Because I think there's a real chance that he is like a healthy scratch in this game. And he plays on Sunday night. So I would be very concerned about, I'll have Romeo Doubs play on Sunday night, because we're hearing things about Aaron Rodgers talking about, okay, if players are not performing on the field, then maybe we need to switch out who's playing in the games. Romeo Doubs caught
Does
zero
that include
passes
Rodgers?
Last No, because he doesn't take blame for when he plays bad.
Self-owned.
Except for him. So Doubs
He's only got 10 fingers, but he seems to be pointing all of them at the same time, which is pretty incredible when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
So Doubs had 4 targets last week. He had 0 catches despite leading the team in routes. He was actually outproduced by Sammy Watkins. And when you look at basically since he became a starter back in week 3, Romeo Doubs is PFF's second lowest graded wide receiver among 95 qualifying wide receivers. So you factor in the bad matchup against the Bills. You factor in the matchup that Aaron Rodgers hates his guts. I do not want Romeo Doubs anywhere near my starting lineup. Drop him, honestly, because I think that his role is going to be reduced. I could see the Packers making a trade for a wide receiver, so I would try to get out of the Doubs business ASAP, Rocky.
All right, well, there's nothing left to say about that. Stop. He's already dead. Next receiver on your list here. Who you got, Erickson? You're also trying to sit this week.
Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Diontae Johnson. I have him wide receiver 33. He's ECR wide receiver 23. I get that he's seeing volume as he continues to do basically whoever is the quarterback, but the efficiency is so bad. You know, last week he had 10 targets, he had 5 catches for 42 yards. He has 1 top 30 finish in half point scoring this year. He has 0 top 36 finishes in the 4 games he's played with Kenny Pickett. And meanwhile, George Pickens has nearly doubled his yardage, 273 versus 141 in the last 4 weeks. So against a really tough Eagles defense that ranks first and lowest catch rate allowed to wide receivers, third and lowest yards per reception allowed to wide receivers, Diontae Johnson is the wide receiver 65 in points per game over his last 4 games. Claypool is 44, and Pickens is wide receiver 24. So, gun against my head, if I have to start a Steelers wide receiver, I would start George Pickens over Diontae Johnson. Because Deontay's not getting it done with Kenny Pickett.
I think that's fair. Your thoughts? You seem to be nodding in agreement there, Derek Brown.
Again, Erickson and I are hand-holding here. I've got him at wide receiver 34. We need to get past this point of the season where people look at names and they say, all right, so we're going to rank these guys this spot, but they haven't done these type of things all year long. Like Najee Harris, top 24 running back, but he hasn't been that. Diontae Johnson, wide receiver 2, but he hasn't been that. And now you're talking about Darius Slay and James Bradbury are shutdown corners. These dudes have under 40 passer ratings allowed. Diontae Johnson is going to run 90% of his routes against these two elite corners. No, thank you. No, thank you at all. I think, honestly, the more we talk about this, guys, wide receiver 3 territory might still be kind to Diontae Johnson. He probably should be wide receiver 4. Am I crazy with that, Joe?
No, I told you, I think you're in a unique spot here where it's going to be another tough road on Sunday against the Eagles. And then there's going to be a bye where everyone's going to take a deep breath And Kenny Pickett is going to get to take a deep breath. And I think the offense will come out and be better because the schedule gets much more forgiving. It's been a really tough task. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's on Deontay, but it's also a young quarterback trying to find his way against some of the best defenses in the league. I think it's a lot to ask of a young man, especially going on the road in some of these games too, nonetheless. So, you know, I do think it's going to be sunnier days ahead, but I don't think week 8 is one of them. So let's put it that way. If you need more help too, don't forget the Start Sit Assistant is out there on My Playbook. So when you download the app, that can help you as well. Go check that out. It's free. It's over there on Google and on Apple. And of course, if you go to fantasypros.com/offers, don't forget about that. You get the 6 free months of the premium product, and then you get the Start Sit Assistant at its full strength, which is where you want it. So go take care of that business. Let's take care of this business. Who should I start? Christian Kirk or Deontay Johnson? It's like I've got my finger on the pulse. It's unbelievable. How do I do it? Go ahead, Erickson. Who do you want to start?
I'm going to start Christian Kirk because Patrick Surtain's going to take one of the Joneses to the Shadow Realm. So that'll give Kirk an opportunity in the slot to do something for this Jaguars offense here in London.
Same business for you here, Debro?
Yeah, same. I'm not that high on Kirk. Like, I've got Kirk at high-end wide receiver 3. I've got him at wide receiver 25 this week, but agreed. I'm much, much higher on Kirk than I am Deontay.
Well, it is basically a home game for the Jaguars. Let's not forget that. 67%, by the way, are for Christian Kirk on the ECR side. Brandon Cooks or DJ Moore? Another one of your favorite guys here. Erickson, you going to start DJ Moore over Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, I am going to start DJ Moore over Brandon Cooks. I have them ranked back-to-back in my wide receiver rankings. It's close for me because Brandon Cooks, it looks like he's the only show in town. I don't expect Nico Collins to suit up in this game. It's a good matchup against the Tennessee Titans, but I mean, Brandon Cooks is now missing practices because he's like rumored to be on the trade block. Is he going to play in this game? So just more question marks. And even and Cooks just really hasn't been that great this year. Like, his targets have gone down every single week since week 1. It's just been a steady decline in his production. Now, it's an easier pill to swallow with Cooks if Nico Collins doesn't play, because it's like, all right, who else are going to throw the ball to? But if that, you can make the same argument for DJ Moore, and we've already seen him do it more often than not. So, and I think his matchup is just as good. So I would lean towards DJ Moore here.
Debro, same deal for you. Is it Moore over Cooks?
Yeah, it's easy Moore over Cooks for me. I've got DJ Moore at wide receiver 20. Brandon Cooks is at wide receiver 26. And the worries about Brandon Cooks is, while the Tennessee secondary is one that you can get over on, I think Brandon Cooks could get a shadow for Christian Fulton. He shadowed last week. We've seen him do it before. And if that's the case, that's why I threw it out on Twitter. You're in deep leagues and stuff. I will have some exposure. Again, Joe, we're going to be talking about DFS later in the week.
Oh, I cannot wait for tomorrow, boy. Keep this train rolling. It's been a gravy train the last couple of weeks, baby. Friday, Twitter, 2 p.m. Be there live. And if you miss it, don't worry. It's still over on the fantasypros.com. You can check it out there. Go ahead. Keep going, D.
My favorite rando guy of the week is actually Philip Dorsett. I think that if Fulton shadows Brandon Cooks, Nico is out. Somebody's got to get deep targets. And I think Dorsett's going to surprise people. He is my call for this week's Paris Campbell.
Well, look, you've been crushing those. You know, you start off with Dortch and you've been red hot ever since, every week finding these guys. By the way, you guys are in the minority. Brandon Cook's still 52% over DJ Moore. So DJ can't get rid of the stink of Baker Mayfield. Still,
it's crazy.
ECR. By the way, don't forget, everybody, we got that touchdown contest going on too. So when you do go premium, go to fantasypros.com/chat and join the Discord. And you can go, we're giving away a Stephon Diggs jersey, and weekly winners get $25 in our Fantasy Pro store. So you can go win money. You can go win jerseys, fun stuff, touchdown call contest. I think Hart is 24K is still up at the top. They were 39. I think it's crazy. Crushing it. Let's get to quarterbacks who maybe aren't crushing it, but you know, it's bye week. So now we got to find some streaming QBs in those single quarterback leagues. Gentlemen, I present to you Jared Goff, who has been miserable the last two outings. In fact, he might have had more points in the bye than he had in the last 2 weeks he played. I had to go check that to be sure, but I think it's really close. Or Jimmy Garoppolo against the Rams. Now, the 49ers against the Rams pretty much been money in the bank, but both of these guys certainly have their shortcomings. Jared Goff supposedly getting his weapons back in Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Derek Brown, who would you rather start, Goff or Jimmy G?
I'm going Goff. I have Goff at QB 11 this week. Miami secondary has been bad, and really, and we're going to talk about one of my deep flexes later in the show, but I think Goff has a really good game. Miami secondary has struggled, and give me that over Jimmy G, who last two meetings versus the Rams, he's been a QB too. I think QB 14 or 19 off the top of my head in the primer. So yeah, it's Goff for me.
QB 11. Stunning. Erickson, your thoughts on these two, Jimmy G or Goff?
I have Goff at QB 13, so I'm not as high as Debro is, but I agree. I would take Jared Goff over Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, Garoppolo has benefited from the fact that they're throwing the ball 40 plus times over the last 2 weeks because they've just been behind by so much, where now you have another offense that's coming in that has struggled so far this year. I think this game is a little bit closer, a little bit more defense, and yeah, I just don't want to trust Jimmy Garoppolo against the Los Angeles Rams.
Hey, man, he's been QB 9. QB 9, yep. And QB 9 for the last 3 weeks. I mean, he's locking it in. You got Jared Goff ranked as a QB 11. He hasn't sniffed that in a month. I think it's Jimmy Garoppolo here. And wait, I know so it sounds
crazy. Who did Jimmy Garoppolo play before all these QB 9s?
I don't care.
No, you do care because he played the Los Angeles Rams.
I care because he's got Christian McCaffrey this week, too. And Christian McCaffrey's going to pad his stats, too. He's gonna throw a nice two-yard pass to Christian McCaffrey. He's going to run for another 60. That is why I like Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's QB 9. And before that, it was QB 22 against
the Rams. Stop living in the past.
Can you live in the now? The Rams, the team they're playing this week.
It's fine.
You don't learn from the past.
They didn't play him with Christian McCaffrey
last
time, did they? Did they play him with Christian McCaffrey last time? No. Jared Goff... All
I hear, Joe, is they're going to feed CMC. Is that what you said? Oh, they're going to feed CMC.
Of course they are. They just paid him.
So touchdowns to CMC, where the touchdown's going to Jimmy?
And you know what, D? If you offered me Justin Jefferson for him right now straight up, I'd still take Justin Jefferson. So you can play that game all you want. Let's go to who should I start at QB2. If you thought the first one was ugly, you ain't seen nothing yet. PJ Walker or Sam Ellinger, Andrew Erickson. These are dark, deep waters here. Which one do you want to start?
Yes, they are deep, dark waters. I'm going to go with Sam Ellinger here. My bold prediction that will come out on Friday, a little sneak peek, is actually Ellinger's going to finish this week as a top 10 fantasy quarterback because he offers the mobility. 58 rushing yards per game at Texas. And you look at the mobile quarterbacks that have faced the Washington Commanders this season, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields. Both guys finished as top 8 fantasy quarterbacks the weeks that they played the Commanders. So I'm going to roll the dice with the more mobile quarterback here with Ellinger, who there's not a lot of tape on this guy in the NFL. So I think he could surprise.
Sometimes there's a reason for that, but that is a very cogent and well thought out argument for Sammy boy. How about you, PJ or Sam?
They're actually back to back in my ranks. I've got PJ one spot ahead at QB 22, Ellinger's at QB 23. I'm going to go Walker here, and this is because... disagreement with Erickson here. I mean, look, Ellinger has, and again, that's why they're right next to each other. I'm going to go Walker in this instance only because, we've seen him be efficient game manager. Last week, they played the Buccaneers, who are a better defense. Now you're going to give him Atlanta, who is going to roll out two backup corners. We're talking about DJ Moore could have a banner day. I think PJ Walker just has a similar ceiling, but a higher floor than Ellinger.
Well, let me tell you, if Atlanta loses and looks bad again, you're going to see Desmond Ridder under center. It's going to happen.
Please.
I'm going to go Sam's side here. It's a 50-50 coin flip, by the way. ECR has no idea. But I'm going to go with the Sam side. I like Erickson's argument. It was very convincing. Good job, Erickson. All right, let's talk about something everybody needs. A streaming tight end. Oh, it's not been good. Maybe you drafted Kyle Pitts, or maybe you drafted anybody except Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce, and it's been a tough year. Come here. I'll give you a hug. Let's talk about streaming tight ends of the week. D-Bro, why don't you kick things off? Who do you like?
Big Irv. Big Irv is going to swerve again this week, baby. I've got him at tight end 7. ECR is lagging behind at tight end 14. They just haven't seen how bad Arizona is versus tight ends. And you could throw out Irv Smith's route runs and targets and all that kind of mess because Arizona has been atrocious versus tight ends. They're 28th in DVOA. They're basically top 3 in everything that you look at, fantasy points, receptions, all these different things that we care about for tight ends. So, yes, give me Big Irv. He is going to get in the end zone this week.
Who do you like better rest of season, Gerald Everett or Irv Smith? Just question for you.
I'm going to go Everett.
Okay. Just curious where that was. Maybe is that because of the Williams injury too? He just continues to stay relevant.
Yeah, it's a few different things. I mean, look, we've seen Herbert. They're not throwing deep down the field. They're peppering short areas of the field. Everett's gotten a higher target share. Still think baseline, it's a better offense. So yeah, I think Everett's going to hold value a little bit higher weekly and has a higher ceiling.
All right, Erickson, hit us with your streaming tight end for week 8.
Yeah, I mean, D-Bro beat me to the punch. So I was ready to just type in Irv Smith and...
I'll love this call by you, though.
By the way, DJ Debro is the one that's late to the podcast sheet, and he's the one that's complaining about you took all his guys, blah, blah, blah.
It's fair.
How does it feel, Erickson? How does it
feel? It doesn't feel good, but my ranking of Irv Smith at tight end two this week feels great. So I'm very excited about that. So my tight end streamer of the week is Cade Otton. He's playing on Thursday night for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There is no Cameron Brait. There is no Russell Gage. Mike Evans is banged up. Julio Jones is a game time decision. So I think that Otton is still going to potentially operate as the number two receiver behind Chris Godwin here. I have him as tight end 11. He's ECR tight end 18. But when he started the two games he's played without Cameron Brait, he's seen great usage. He's averaged 5 catches and over 50 receiving yards. And that's 10 points in PPR. Like I'm so happy with that. Just like, give me that, lock it in.
It's amazing what makes us happy at this point.
I feel great about my tight end plug-in, you know, getting 10 points. So, and it's a good matchup against the Ravens. They've allowed the 7th most fantasy points to tight ends over the last 3 weeks. And if you're just listening to this now, maybe Thursday night's already played. As an honorable mention, I will throw in Juwan Johnson for the New Orleans Saints. Good matchup against the Raiders. And he led us to the promised land last week. So those are two tight ends for you.
Cade Otton, the pride of Tumwater High School in Tumwater, Washington. Look at that, Tumwater. All right, let's get to who should I start game at tight end. How about your boy Irv Smith versus Dalton Schultz here? Let's test the love of Derek Brown of Irv. Who would you rather start this week?
It's Irv for me. And I think that Erickson brought up a really sharp point. I think it was a few weeks back about Tyler Conklin and people not looking at how often he was on the field and stuff. Dalton Schultz, I don't think, is anywhere close to healthy. He only ran a route on 55% of dropbacks last week. So I had Dalton Schultz as a top 12 tight end, and then I saw that when I was writing up the primer, and I was like, I had to drop him. So yeah, give me Irv easily.
Same thing for you, or are you going Schultz, Andrew?
No, 100%. I'm all in on Irv Smith this week. Like, I am all in. DFS, I'm starting him everywhere. I'm starting the flex in places there, too. So yeah. It's Irv week.
All right. Well, you know, it's funny. ECR doesn't seem to agree with you. 62% say Dalton Schultz still. So
ECR didn't believe in Juwan Johnson last week either. And
that's right. Derek Brown, to his credit, was all in on Juwan Johnson. And boy, oh boy, was that the right call. So
yeah, he's a
for
king.
All the people still hating all your Sky Moore takes, your Juwan Johnson was mwah, chef's kiss.
Starts and sits of the week.
Let's get to the starts of the week. And coming straight from the live stream, I almost lost my mind on somebody because they didn't want to start Chris Olave. I'm like, what are you doing? He is going to be the guy. He got 14 targets last week at 106 yards. I know he didn't get a touchdown, but that's because Andy Dalton was throwing the ball to the other team too much. The Las Vegas Raiders this week, this is a great matchup. Their corners are not very good. Michael Thomas is never going to play football again. And Jarvis Landry, I mean, again, I think both of them are just on a cruise somewhere hanging out and, you know, with their foot injuries and just be done because it's Chris Olave's time. Get him in your lineups. I don't care. I don't care. Flex, whatever you got to do. Wide receiver 3. He is a 2 right now. He needs to be in your lineup. Make space for Chris Olave. Who is your guy, D-Bro, that you is a must start this week?
Man, that's such a good dad pun. They literally have their feet propped up on the cruise ship.
I mean, honestly, look, you're a dad. Would you like that right now? I'd love that. I'd love to have my feet propped up on the cruise.
Love it, man. And
Erickson doesn't know this pain yet, and I say yet, because he's going to get there.
Yeah.
He's got the dad jokes, though, which I literally love. Erickson's already got tons of dad jokes.
I think his dad jokes might actually be better than mine as well.
They're better than yours. They're not my level yet, because you got to grow there.
That's fair. So if we're going to go deeper down the rabbit hole, I love the Olave call, but I'm going to go back to the well with Rondale Moore. Last week, he was miscategorized Kingsbury for all the smart things he did, and I say that. He did smart things with moving DeAndre Hopkins into the slot. I think Rondale Moore with Robbie Anderson more acclimated to the playbook goes back into the slot this week, and that's fantastic for him. Where the Minnesota Vikings have struggled is versus yak. They've given up the 12th most yak in the league. This is Rondale Moore's bread and butter, baby. Not only did he get a 24% target share when he was the starting slot wide receiver for the Cardinals, he's also 6th in the NFL in yak per reception. I think Rondale Moore is going to crush this week. I've got him as a wide receiver 3, borderline wide receiver 2 this week.
All right, Erickson, who's your must start for week 8 in the NFL?
Going with Devonta Smith for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense is allowing the 2nd most receiving yards per game to number 2 wide receivers. And if you look over the last 4 games, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown have the same target share, 28%. So they're seeing equal opportunity in the offense. A.J. Brown is the alpha, but don't sleep on Devontae Smith. I know he's like a fringe guy for most weeks for people because, you know, where you drafted him, and he's kind of been boom or bust, but This is a week that you want him in your wide receiver three spot.
All right, let's go to the sits of the week. Well, I'm sitting Deontay Johnson. And again, I get the show sheet before anybody because I make the show sheet. So I was out on Deontay Johnson before it was cool to be out on Deontay Johnson. It's a bad matchup for him. Let's just be honest. Let's call it what it is. You don't need me to rehash it. Erickson already gave it to you. So look, this is a perfect example. You put more draft capital on Deontay Johnson than you did in Chris Olave. You got both those guys on your team. It's a no-brainer. You're starting Olave this week. So stop living in the past. You know, you got to live in the now. These are the guys that are producing. It's a bad matchup. Debro, who are you sitting this week?
Oh, this pains me, but
I love this.
I put all this pain on Arthur Smith. Ugh, darn you, Arthur Smith. I'm not going to live in the past. Drake London has got to be a sit. He has not finished as a top 36 wide receiver since week three. And it's really sad, guys, because Drake London is having a quietly elite season. And you'd never know it from the box scores. The guy has the sixth fewest routes run per game amongst all wide receivers with 10 or more targets. He's top five in PFF receiving grade, top 24 in yards per route run. But when you're in a run first offense that only lets the quarterback throw 12 times, 13 times when they're getting their butts handed to them, it nerfs everything that Kyle Pitts or Drake London can do. So sit Drake London. Darn you, Arthur Smith. Darn you.
There you have. Wow. I can't believe we got here, but you're right. Welcome. Come in. Come on. We've got snacks, D-Bro. Come on. Sit. Hang out.
They
watch
taste
Drake London.
Bitter. I don't like
them.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, watch until Desmond Ritter shows up. It ain't going to get better. And I don't even know if that's going to make it better, but it can't make it worse. So therefore,
crackers taste like crow, Joe. I don't like them.
No, that's all right. Erickson, why don't you stick with the theme here for the Falcons, eh?
Yeah, not to pile on here, but I'm going to sit Kyle Pitts here for the Atlanta Falcons. And we got rid of the, you know, what tight ends are we fading in the top 12? And of course, no, I still had to bring it back. So Kyle Pitts is a tight end that I'm fading in the top 12. He's not even in my top 15 tight ends this week. I have him at tight end 16. So I don't know why he's in the top 10 ECR. I just, because people are like, hey, he's Kyle Pitts. He's a tight end. He's athletic. Like, he can get it done. But no one can get it done if you're averaging five targets per game. It's impossible. So that's the same amount as Nico Collins, Corey Davis, Allen Robinson, like guys that you would not even think about starting in your wide receiver or flex spot. And Carolina is allowing the fifth fewest targets to tight ends. So an offense already doesn't throw the ball. The defense they're playing doesn't give up targets to the tight end. And five targets for Kyle Pitts. I mentioned it before, Kate Otten. He's averaging five catches per game. So yeah, there are way better streamers than Kyle Pitts. You don't need to necessarily drop him, but you got to get him on your bench and just replace him with another tight end.
Listen to me, everyone. Go out in every dynasty and keeper league and go buy Kyle Pitts and go buy Drake London. Go buy them both. It will not always be like this. Better days are ahead. Better quarterbacks are coming into the league. So don't worry. But now is the time. The window is so wide open. I know. I just made a trade in a dynasty league for Kyle Pitts a couple weeks ago. I got Travis Etienne and Kyle Pitts for Mark Andrews. And you know what? I wasn't a team going anywhere. I'm looking to the future. You can go out there and make these kind of deals. I'm telling you, they're on the table. Go be aggressive. You're out of it. Just accept it. Go play for the future.
Flex appeal.
All right, flex appeal. Marquise Goodwin. That boy fast. Marquise Goodwin has opportunities. Okay, he is an all-world sprinter. The guy still has speed, even though he's got a little bit of age. He can get by people. He can stretch the field. Is he going to catch two touchdowns? Probably not. If he catches one, you should dance a jig and be very, very happy. But in this scenario here, you think there's going to be some points in this game. Vegas does. I think you go and you play him if you need to, especially if you were somebody that had Mike Williams or you had DK Metcalf or you've got a couple holes here or guys on buys. I think you do worse this week than Marquise Goodwin. Debro, who you got as a flex appeal, late round guy kind of sliding in there to your lineup?
I need to see Riverdance, Joe. Absolutely. We need to get this on tape.
Excellent dancing skills.
Oh, believe. I just need to see you, you know, tap shoes.
What do you want? You want tap? You want,
yeah,
you
want
ballet?
I want
jazz? My jazz hands are vicious. You got to just watch. Well, I'm not allowed to do them on the YouTube channel because they're so good. Like, it just shorts out YouTube for like about 3 seconds.
Compute?
Yeah, it's bad.
I get the blue screen to death. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go deep down the rabbit hole. And I talked about the Jared Goff love. If he is going to get there as a top 12 quarterback this week, it is not only with Amon-Ra St. Brown, but Josh Reynolds is banged up. It's with Khalif Raymond. And I know this is a deep league ad, and I understand that, like, look, you're saying I'm probably being too cute. You're rolling your eyes out there. I get it. But hear me out. Miami Dolphins are sixth in yak and eighth in missed tackles allowed. This is where they struggle, is allowing guys to break off big plays off of short passes. Okay, this sounds like a lovely thing for Jared Goff. He is going to pepper Khalif Raymond, who last week had an 87% route run rate, had a 24% target share, and last year, amongst wide receivers with 50 or more targets, the man was 14th amongst all wide receivers in yak per reception. Khalif Raymond's going to have a good game.
All right, Khalif Raymond, there's that. I thought mine was deep. You went way deep. Erickson, go ahead. You're up. How deep can you go here?
I mean, I'm still trying to get out of this rabbit hole. That I just love that expression, by the way, D-Bro. Going into the rabbit hole, love it.
Yeah,
so I'm going with KJ Osborne for the Minnesota Vikings coming off the bye week. So before the Vikings bye week, he had seen five targets in back-to-back games. You look at Arizona's defense. They're actually one of the worst defenses against number three receivers. So I like the game environment. You know, Minnesota and Arizona should be a high-scoring affair. It's in a dome. And both of the defense rank first in targets allowed to number three wide receivers. So we're going to see some of these ancillary pieces, whether it's a KJ Osborne, Robbie Anderson, Rondale Moore. Like, one of these guys is going to pop off, like Irv Smith. So I want to take a shot at one of these players. And KJ Osborne, we've seen him before pop off big games. You know, if Adam Thielen, you know, just starts to show his age a little bit more, you know, you could see Osborne be productive here.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, let's get to the listener mailbag straight from our Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. Again, free join, but premium members get all the perks, including getting to be here on the show. Let's go to Evney's question. Dak or Kirk Cousins this week? Erickson, who would you want to start in your lineup? I'm going Kirk, and it's not close for me.
I agree. Kirk Cousins for me.
All right, D-Bro, 3 for 3?
No. I'm actually going to go with Dak.
Leave on such a nice note. You had to ruin it.
Okay. Hold on. Let me give you the spiel here.
I need to hear the spiel.
Better be good.
Okay. So first of all, the shade on Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins poops his pants every time he gets blitzed or pressured, and that is what Arizona loves to do. They're top five in blitz rate. I understand their pressure rate is not extremely high, but if the blitz gets home, I think Kirk Cousins is in for possibly a rough day. His PFF passing grades, adjusted completion rate, all these different things versus the blitz are terrible. So I think Minnesota tries to run the ball a little bit more. Again, I think Irv Smith has a good day, but I don't think Cousins has an amazing day. I'm going to go with Dak here because, Dallas is not going to... If Zeke misses this game or he's banged up, this is a perfect opportunity for Dallas to go back to the passing game. And with CeeDee Lamb versus Kyler Gordon in the slot, I think it's a good game for CeeDee Lamb where they can unleash him, get him 10, 12 targets, and just let him have a day. I'm going to go with Dak on this one.
All right, we shall see how that all works out on Sunday. Everybody go enjoy the games. And of course, if you need more help, we'll be there Sunday morning from 10:30 to 1, starting at 10:30 in the morning Eastern time on the YouTube channel too, to help you out to set all your lineups with the live stream going on. So go subscribe to Fantasy Pros YouTube channel too. Go get my playbook. Go get premium at fantasypros.com/offers and go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook or just download the app. Use the Start Sit Assistant. And don't forget to drop a 5-star review of the pod wherever you get your pods. Go to Apple Podcasts or wherever. Drop that review and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to get that amazing Amon-Ra St. Brown autographed helmet from our good friends at pristineauction.com and follow us on social media, wherever you like to social media, at Fantasy Pros as well. I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, including Monkey Knife Fight. That's right. No math, no salary caps, no sharks, just daily fantasy props. Free $5 when you sign up with the promo code Fantasy Pros at Monkey Knife Fight and get the $100 instant deposit match on your $100 first deposit. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.